Good evening. Of all the days we have seen, we have not seen a day quite like this.
Let me just pause over how remarkable this is.
It is a very busy day.
This is how politics works in 2018. When a political bomb drops, those of us in Washington scramble.
The White House is reeling in the wake of what may have been the worst day of the Trump presidency.
Mueller's seemingly never-ending witch hunt is rocking our system of justice to its very core.
Reality has changed.
That is a big deal.
Legal issues are swirling around the Trump White House.
There are no charges against him.
Nothing protects his family or any of his business entities from legal accountability.
Today, we witness the president of the United States go from the frying pan into the fire.
But just as we start to make sense of it and try to figure out how voters are processing it, another one hits. And the cycle repeats again and again and again. After each new revelation, though, my question remains the same. What does it mean for the midterms? We start today by trying to answer that question. By now we know that Michael Cohen pleaded guilty Tuesday to campaign finance violations, along with tax evasion and bank fraud. And Cohen also says President Trump directed him to break the law. So a few days later, we want to know how Congress and the candidates are reacting to this news. And of course, what it could mean for an election that's still more than 2 months away. I've got two people with me to help us get closer to some answers. Jeremy Peters is a reporter covering politics for The New York Times. And Aswin Soopsang is a White House reporter at The Daily Beast. Hi, you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Jeremy, I want to start with you and talk about how Republicans are reacting to this news. Now it's the end of the week. Are there any cracks in the support for the president, either on the Hill or on the campaign trail?
Do you want the answer that they're giving in public or the answer they're giving in private when they go off the record?
We love the private off the record, Jeremy.
So publicly, nothing has changed, right? This is basically another Charlottesville, another Helsinki, another Judge Curiel type moment, which is you know, a grave self-inflicted wound for the president, but one that will not cause any of the Republicans who haven't already criticized the president to do so. Privately, I would say that this is about the highest level of anxiety I've seen since the Access Hollywood tape dropped. There is a real sense that there is now a threat to the longevity of his presidency, just like the Access Hollywood tape was a threat to the viability of his candidacy.
Jeremy, do you mean a threat to his actual presidency, or are you saying a threat to Republicans for the midterms?
I think both. I mean, you talk to Republicans, and obviously they are worried about this controversy, the constant chaos and distraction that Trump creates, drawing voters away from them at the midterms, because the people they need to come out and vote, the people who very well could determine the results of this election, as you know, are these Republicans who don't like Trump, but like what they're seeing coming from this administration and from the Republican-led Congress. But a lot of them are saying, and I picked this up from donors and very senior Republicans this week, I'm done. I can't stand this guy. He's a pig. He's a racist. You can't call black people stupid. You can't taunt your lawyer on Twitter who's just pleaded guilty and implicated you in a crime like a child. We're done. And that's very dangerous for the Republicans in the midterms.
Sure. But just to go off on how the Republican Party in the era of Trump has completely been subsumed into Trumpism itself, I'm so glad Jeremy earlier mentioned things like Helsinki, Charlottesville, the Access Hollywood grab them by the you-know-what tape. In each of those cases, and very predictably so, you can almost set it to your watch. It's like clockwork at this point. The Republican Party lockstep comes back behind this president. And it's almost so predictable and a bit of a joke now in the White House that when you talk to senior officials about it, it's like, yes, they have taken and are aware of the pretty nasty temperature among top donors and top politicians on Capitol Hill within Trump's GOP. But they almost take it for granted that once the news cycle blows over, and in the Trump era, where a news cycle lasts, a long one is like, what, 3.5 days?
Mm-hmm.
They all come home to Trump. They reveal themselves to be enormously cheap dates, at least until something gives. And who knows what the straw will be that finally breaks the camel's back. If there is a completely disastrous blowout in the 2018 midterm elections, even more disastrous than they're already expecting behind the scenes, maybe something changes. If the Mueller investigation comes up with something particularly catastrophic for Team Trump, maybe something changes. But it's all currently in the category of maybe, maybe, maybe.
But Swin, do we think that this was the last shoe to drop with Michael Cohen? Or is the concern within the White House that there are going to be more of these news cycles than not?
Oh, they're absolutely concerned about that. But like I said before, they have kind of, it's standard operating procedure that bombshell after bombshell will explode from week to week.
I think the concern that I've picked up on is, first and foremost, the erratic nature of the president's behavior and how increasingly erratic and impulsive it's been. They're worried that it's going to just get worse as the legal threats continue to pile up. He lashes out when he is backed into a corner, and we saw this week from his Twitter feed, from that Fox and Friends interview, his continuous torturing and belittling of Jeff Sessions. I don't think he's going to fire Jeff Sessions before the midterms because he realizes, well, people around him at least are telling him how bad it would be if he were to do that. And unlike with Jim Comey, there is, when he fired Jim Comey, there were people like Jared and Ivanka saying, yeah, this would be a great idea. No one is saying fire Jeff Sessions at this point. Number two, you don't know what's going to happen between now and the midterms. What if Manafort starts cooperating as his sentencing plays out? I don't know that. If that's going to happen, it's a possibility. What's in Bob Woodward's book? There are all of these known unknowns and unknown unknowns, as our former defense secretary used to say, that could really change the outcome or just make things a lot worse for Republicans in November.
Let's talk about how Democrats are reacting to this. There was an interview that Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader, did with the AP where she noted that the talk of impeachment is not a priority for Democrats. Mm-hmm. It won't be a priority in 2019 if they take control. And there seems to be some pushback from some Democrats saying, why are Democrats running away from impeachment talk? So can you tell us a little bit about how the Democrats are handling this issue, what they expect to do with it on the campaign?
Well, I mean, impeachment is kind of an interesting word when you throw it around for the sake of Democratic campaign rhetoric. But like you just mentioned, the year 2019, well, that's 1 year away from 2020. Should the Democrats spend more effort trying to do this impeachment horror show, which could very well just go less than nowhere and completely backfire on them, as it did for Republicans during the Clinton era? In terms of Clinton's approval rating, it skyrocketed as soon as they got through with it. Or should they focus their energies on trying to beat him at the ballot box? What is a more durable strategy to upending not just these Trumpian gains, but these Republican gains? At the end of the day, Trump will be gone at some point, but the GOP in his image will still be there. So I think there's a lot of debate about how to actually proactively combat that, and impeachment for a lot of Democrats on Capitol Hill, they don't believe that should even be in the option box. But in terms of what we were talking about earlier with, how much does all of this stuff matter? Like each big news bombshell about the president's personal legal woes. Of course, all this Manafort and Cohen news matters. It all matters. It's all very newsworthy and very important. Is it as consequential in terms of big policy or political ripple effects in the sense of something like repeated and humiliating failures of Trump's administration and Republicans on Capitol Hill to repeal Obamacare? No, not necessarily. But the Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort news and Scott Pruitt news or whatever does feed into this sort of culture of corruption narrative in the Trump era that Democrats are trying to capitalize on.
Well, hey, Amy, so this is what I was wondering. Look at 2006, right? Mm-hmm. So that midterm, as you know, was a wipeout for Republicans, not all because of the way that we tend to remember it, which is that it was Bush fatigue and the war that did them in. It was the corruption and the ethical stench around the Republican Party. You had Jack Abramoff. You had Mark Foley a few weeks before November, Tom DeLay, all of that, Scooter Libby. So, doesn't it seem like this just all that's happening right now is going to contribute to a sense that this is just not the party that we want running things anymore?
Well, and that's what I'm wondering, how direct Democrats are going to be in this messaging. If you look at all the ads that they've been running during the primaries, it's been focused mostly on the issue of health care. And within that, attacks on Trump, but not attacks on Trump personally as much as attacks on him and his administration and Republicans' attacks on Obamacare. Mm-hmm. But Jeremy, does this change now? Do Democrats now go into the midterm election saying, all right, let's pivot and start talking about corruption? Let's talk about impeachment, right? You have Tom Steyer, big donor to Democrats, running a whole bunch of ads saying we should impeach the president. Does this change that calculus?
I don't think that it does. Number one, because if Democrats knew the message that worked, they would be running on it. You know they've pulled this. I mean, come on. Of course they pulled it. And they remember what it was like in 1998 and what a national trauma it was. And that Republicans came around and said, yeah, that was a bad idea. Also, I think you need to look at, and this is what Democrats will say privately, what are you stuck with? If you remove President Trump from office, who is president? They prefer Donald Trump. Because at least they will say he's so incompetent, his administration has been so ineffective that they don't need to worry about them really getting anything done, executing anything in a competent fashion. That they're not so sure that that would be the case with Pence, because Pence is a true believer. You know, he has his conviction. And then I would say, I just think we tend to talk about impeachment the wrong way, right? If he's impeached, he's still president. He's not removed from office. That would only happen if the Senate convicts him by 2/3 majority. And show me the numbers where that works.
Right. Hey, you guys, thank you. Jeremy Peters, reporter covering politics for the New York Times. Aswin Subhasan is a White House reporter for the Daily Beast. Thanks, you guys, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
Coming up, we turn to something we know voters are tuned into, healthcare.
Kevin, Manchester, New Hampshire. You know, this ANA of Obamacare, people like me didn't like it from the beginning. My co-pays continue to go up. My premiums continue to go up. And yes, the majority of Americans like it. Those are the ones who are getting it for free. But us who have to pay and get nothing from it, hate it.
Hi, my name's Margaret from Warren, Ohio. If not for Obamacare, my brother would be dead. He's had 3 cancers, and he just keeps fighting and fighting. And if he didn't have Obamacare help and health care, he would not be alive today because the bills are just exorbitant.
Stay tuned. It's The Takeaway.